Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. So, we're going to be in Proverbs, the ninth chapter, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Now, I have to preface the sermon with a warning. You'll see that Brother Daryl is not here this morning, and that's because there are pictures of snakes in this sermon, and he's so afraid of snakes, he can't even look at them, much even see one in real life. So if there's anybody here who has a real phobia of snakes, it's okay, you can excuse yourself. So just so you know that we're going to have some pictures of snakes coming up here in just a minute. So having said that, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Jimmy, you overset people up with that introduction, so I hope no one's disappointed. So let's go ahead and get started. If I were to show you a picture of these two snakes, would you know what they are? Would you know the difference between these two snakes if you were just to see them suddenly? Okay, some of you are nodding your heads, yes. All right, so they look very similar, right? They have the same three colors. They have yellow, red, and black. They're found here in Florida. You might find them in their yard. They're found in very similar habitats. But, so they look very similar, these two snakes do. But, indeed, they're actually very, very different. One snake is actually very beneficial. It's a very gentle snake, and if you were to pick it up, it probably wouldn't bite you. It eats rodents in the yards, and it even eats other poisonous snakes. So it's a very beneficial snake. The other snake, however, is full of deadly venom. And if you were to pick it up, and it were to bite you, it could certainly kill you, especially if you're smaller, a child. So there's a huge difference between these two snakes, although they look almost completely identical. And to the untrained eye, you would say, well, yeah, they look identical. What's the difference between the two? But there is a difference. So one of them is the scarlet king snake, right? That's the scarlet king snake. And so a king snake is a beneficial snake. They eat rats, they eat other poisonous snakes, and they have a very gentle disposition, as king snakes do. And so if you were to see this snake out, you might even pick it up and it wouldn't hurt you. It'd be fine. And if you had it in your yard, you would probably want it to be living in your yard to eat the rats and any other poisonous snakes that might come into your yard. So as I was a kid growing up, we had this little rhyme, red on black, friend of Jack. That's how you remember it. Red on black, friend of Jack. All right, so, but then there was another snake we saw. And that was this snake, the coral snake. Now this is a poisonous snake. And it's not just a poisonous snake, it has a unique kind of venom. It has a rattlesnake, and snakes like that, or a cottonmouth. They have a kind of venom that actually destroys the tissues, that kills the tissues. This snake has a neurotoxin. And so what a neurotoxin is, it actually shuts down your nervous system. And so if you're bitten by this, a neurotoxin, you actually can't move, and eventually you can't breathe, and your heart stops. That's how it kills its prey. And it's something called a rear-fanged viper. You know, like rattlesnakes have their fangs up front. These have their fangs in the back. So they actually latch onto you and have to chew their venom into you. And so this is a very deadly snake. And by the way, snakes are not poisonous. Snakes are venomous, all right? Poison is something you eat that kills you. Venom is something that's injected into you. So there are no poisonous snakes. They're all venomous. Okay, so that's your trivia fact from your friendly wildlife biologist. All right, so there's no poisonous snakes. So this is a venomous snake, and the way you remember this is red on yellow, kill a fellow. So red on black, friend on Jack, red on yellow, kill a fellow. So what you see here are these two snakes, that they look very similar. Whoops. There are these two snakes that you see that are very similar, the coral snake and the scarlet king snake. They're both very beautiful. They both have the exact same three colors. They live in the same area, and yet they're very, very different. One is a very friendly snake that's not going to hurt you, yet the other one is full of a deadly venom that can actually kill you. So what I want to do this morning then is talk about the call of Proverbs chapter 9. And in there we see that there are two different calls. And the parallel I want to make is they're like these snakes. They look very similar at the outset, but you have to be trained to tell the difference, because in the end it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference whether you pick up the coral snake or the scarlet king snake. And in the same way, what we're going to see in Proverbs 9 is, even though it sounds folly, sounds similar to wisdom at first, it makes a big difference which one you follow. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. And I want to start by reading verses 1 through 4, where it talks about wisdom. And it says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says." Okay, so here's wisdom. She's personified as a woman. And here's wisdom who's prepared a table. And now wisdom goes and stands on the top of the city and says, "Hey, if you're naive, come in here." And she's trying to reach people who lack understanding. So wisdom is reaching out to people who don't understand what life is all about and is trying to educate them. Now, let's look at what folly says in verses 13 through 16. Verses 13 through 16. "The woman of folly," so this is foolishness, also personified as a woman, "is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight, 'Whoever is naive, let him turn in here.' And to him who lacks understanding, she says." So here's folly. I want you to notice a couple of things about folly. Where does folly sit? At the high places of the city, just like wisdom. I look at it as like, you know, when you drive into town and there's the big billboard, you know, that's trying to either sell you real estate or gas or something. That's what you see. So you can see these two women. They're standing up on top of the gates of the city, and as people are coming in the gates, they're reaching out to these people. What I want you to notice is that wisdom and folly say exactly the same thing, word for word. They say, "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here." They say exactly the same things. And they're reaching the same audience. It says they're calling out to the naive, maybe those who don't understand life yet, who are looking for meaning in life. They're looking for something. And they're saying, "Well, if you're naive, if you're uneducated, come to me and I will teach you." Notice, wisdom and folly are like these snakes. They look almost exactly the same. They found in the same area. They're saying the same thing. And yet, as we're going to see, there's a huge difference between the two. So let's read in verses 5 and 6 first, and chapter 9, and look what wisdom says. Wisdom says, "Come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." So wisdom says, give up your foolish way of living. Give up this unrighteous way of living, and follow me, follow righteousness, and you will have life. But look what folly says over in verse 17. Now listen to this. "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." So what's it saying? Folly is saying, it's secret. Let's steal something that you don't have any right to. If you steal it, and oh, that's so good. And if you do this in secret and hiding, oh, that's pleasurable. So you need to follow these things that are stolen. You need to hide and follow this way of foolishness. And so there's a big difference in their message. Wisdom is saying, follow the path of righteousness out in the open. Folly is saying, you know, let's hide. Let's hide this foolishness that we're doing. But it does make a big difference. So just like these two snakes, it makes a big difference if you see these two snakes in your yard. It makes a huge difference. One of them is going to be fine, and it's going to not harm you at all. One of them is going to bring death. And so let's look at that. If we go back to the ninth chapter, and we read verses 11, let's see what wisdom brings. Wisdom says, "For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." So wisdom brings life. Real wisdom brings many more years of life and happiness. But look what it says in verse 18 of folly. But of folly it says, the naive person does not know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of Sheol. What he's saying is, if you walk into the house of foolishness, and you walk in and all of a sudden there's dead people, there's corpses stacked around. And Sheol here means death. In the King James Version, it was translated as hell, but that's not what it means. It means death. So he's saying there that folly leads to death. And so that's what he's saying is that on the surface, just like these two snakes, folly and wisdom may look very similar. They may be found in the same places, but one leads to life and the other leads to death. So it makes a huge difference which call you listen to. Just like it makes a big difference which snake is living in your yard, it makes a huge difference which call you respond to. The call of folly or the call of wisdom. And so we're going to take just a minute of this and look at, in the Bible, some examples of these two calls. Because there's several examples. Let's look over at Genesis, the third chapter. All right? And the fall of man and woman. Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And let's just read that. And you know the story, of course. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, were in the garden. And the snake comes to tempt the woman. But look what it says. And the serpent, you know, of course, asked Eve if she could eat of any fruit. And she said, no, we can't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of knowledge of good or evil, or we'll die. And the serpent says in verse 4, you shall surely not die. For God knows in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that there was delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, let me just think about that for a minute. You know, here is the Garden of Eden, full of all this fruit that you could eat any of it you could. And the Bible says when God finished his creation, it was very good. But now here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if she saw that its fruit was beautiful and its fruit was tasty, does that mean the rest of the fruit in the garden was all ugly and was all nasty? It's like, well, I don't want to eat that fruit. No. All the rest of the fruit was beautiful too. I mean, can you imagine living in a place where you just walk out your door and there's oranges and grapefruits and lemons and limes and bananas and papayas and pomegranates and whatever you want. All this beautiful fruit all around you that's all beautiful and it tastes good. And so that's obviously what the fruit of the knowledge of good and tree looked, the knowledge of good and evil, that fruit looked good. That fruit was good for food too. But it made a difference what fruit you ate, didn't it? It looked similar. It was all good looking. It was all good for food. But one led to life and one led to death. It had eternal consequences because of which one of those fruits they ate, which call they listened to. What did Satan say, you know, to Eve? And I just love this. If you go, let's go back over to Proverbs 9. Let's look what folly said. Can you imagine Satan whispering these words in the ears of Eve? Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Oh, God said you can't have that fruit. Oh, but don't you know it's sweet? Don't you know God can't see you? Let's go ahead and eat that fruit in secret. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's exactly what Satan said to Eve. And she listened to the wrong call. And what did it bring? It brought death on all of us, her children. We're all the children of Adam and Eve. And we suffer death and a curse on this world because our mother listened to the wrong call. It makes a difference. Just like these two snakes, it makes a difference which one is in your yard. It makes a difference which fruit she ate. One was a fruit of life, one was a fruit of death. It made a difference. Now, let's go over and look at another example. And that is, what about the call of the prophets? Let me go over to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And we want to read there what Paul said about the prophets and about what they said. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Okay, Paul says here, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul, what are you saying, Paul? You received a revelation from God. That's what Paul is saying. And he says, so you need to listen to it. But guess what, brethren? There's lots of people out there who claim to have received a revelation from God that we need to listen to. A lot of people say that. How about Muhammad? He's the founder of the Muslim religion. You know, what he said is that I went into a cave, and there the angel Gabriel preached to me the word of Allah, and now I have shared with you the revelation about Allah that I received from an angel. And he says, you need to follow this teaching, the teaching of Allah, if you want to know God. All right? So, and how about Joseph Smith? Do you know who he is? He's the founder of the Mormon religion. Joseph Smith said that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit appeared to him one day and said, all Christianity has gone way astray. It's all corrupt. And you need to find true Christianity. So the angel Moroni came to Joseph Smith and said, here's a gold, and I'm going to show you where a golden Bible is, a solid gold Bible. And if you will follow the teachings of that book, then you will know true Christianity. That's the Book of Mormon. All right? So here, and he says, well, but you need the Book of Mormon, just like you need the Quran, to truly know God. And if on the surface, they look very similar. They do. All of these religions say you need to know and follow God. You need to submit your life to God. So whether it's Christianity or the Muslim religion or the Mormon religion, they all say you need to follow God. They all have several, similar teachings of morality. They would all say, well, you should not commit adultery. You should be kind and open to the poor. Maybe homosexuality is a sin. They have very similar teachings in morality. And they all, for that matter, they all claim to follow the God of Abraham. They all say, yes, we believe the God of the story of Abraham and Isaac, and we believe all of that, and Ishmael, and we follow the same God that you do, the God of Abraham. So, here we have these different religions, these different prophets who all say, I have a revelation from God. And they all teach some very similar things. So let me ask you, does it make a difference? Does it make a difference whom we listen to? Is it like these two snakes that look very similar, but there's a difference? Well, I think it does, and that's why John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And in fact, here's the thing. When you peel back the layers of the Muslim religion and the Mormon religion, we find they're not the same. There'll be huge differences. In fact, both of them say you can't trust the Bible. That's the foundation of both Muslim religion and the Mormon religion. They both teach the Bible has been corrupted. You cannot trust it. That's why you need the additional revelation of Muhammad and the additional revelation of Joseph Smith. In fact, if you follow just the Bible, it will not lead you to God. You have to have these things in order to go to heaven. That's what they, but and in fact, if you reject the teachings of Muhammad, they say you're going to go to hell. And if you reject the teachings of Joseph Smith, well, you may not go to hell, but you're certainly not going to go to the highest heaven. And so they say that you need these additional teachings to be saved. But look what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, Paul says, even if we, if an apostle or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, cursed from God. Paul says, if there's any other gospel, if anyone brings it to you, including an angel, they are to be cursed, because the scriptures have all that pertains to life and godliness. This is the one true. Paul is saying, I have the true revelation. It was given to me by Jesus Christ. If you follow anything else, it's a curse. It's a curse. So, we have some things that look similar on the surface. And people will often say, well, what's the difference? They're all the same. They're all serving God. They're all going the same place. What's the difference? There's a huge difference. Just like these two snakes. They look similar, but one brings life and one brings death. The two calls, one brings life and one brings death. The fruit, one fruit brings life, one fruit brings death. And so with the teachings, one teaching may bring eternal life, and one teaching will bring an eternal curse. So there's a huge difference. You know, I don't find it surprising, over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 11, 14, Paul says to beware, because even Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light. Now you think about that. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light and speak to a man. How would you know? It looks like an angel of light. How do I know if this is an angel of light or if this is Satan? By the teachings that that thing brings, that that being brings. If it contradicts the teachings of Christ and his apostles, it's to be accursed. And do you think is it any coincidence that Paul tells us, on the one hand, Satan can appear as an angel, and then Paul says, beware angels who bring another gospel? And the two fastest growing religions in the world were brought by angels? Who was the angel who spoke to Muhammad? Who was the angel who spoke to Joseph Smith? Was it an angel? Or was it Satan disguised as an angel of light? It might look similar, but one is a path of life, and one is a path of death. It makes a big difference what we listen to. All right, one more verse, and then we're going to be done, y'all. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. And you all know this one, the story of the wide path and the narrow path. Matthew chapter 7. And let's read verses 13 through 14 there. And you know this. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are there who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Right? So, you know this parable. There's the two pathways, right? The broad, easy path that many people are on because it's easy to follow. But Jesus says that way leads to destruction. Versus the narrow path that's hard to follow, but that way leads to eternal life. So, they're both pathways, but one leads to life and one leads to destruction. But let me ask you something. What do you think, how do you think these pathways are labeled, right? You know, when you're on the freeway and it's like, oh, this exit to Jacksonville, right? So you're on the path of life. And here you come up to the exit of the broad path. And you're like, should I get off on the broad path? What does it say? Here's the broad path. What it says is, this way to life and happiness. That's what it says. The exit to the broad path doesn't say the broad path, this way to death and destruction. It says this way to life and happiness, just like the narrow path. The narrow path, and you're going to get off on that, should I take this little side road here, to go over to some small town, to Folkestone, Georgia, the tiny little road. That road also says the narrow path to life and happiness. They look similar, yet they're hugely different. I mean, hey, think about it. So sometimes in the morning when I'm driving to work, I listen to this radio station. And, they have these disc jockeys on there, radio personalities. They're trying to, make you happy and feel better in the morning. But this particular one I listened to, I was thinking how often they talk about, on Mondays when they come in off their weekend, how often they talk about how much drinking they were doing and how they got drunk and how they went to some party and how they, had random sex with somebody. And they're laughing about it and having a good time, and this is supposed to make people feel good and get you in the mood for the work week. And it's the broad path. But it sounds so good. It sounds like that's the way to life and happiness, doesn't it? That's like, I want to be on that path. They're having a great time and enjoying life. That sounds pretty good. But it's the broad path that leads to destruction. And then we come here to church and we say, no, this is the narrow path. This leads to life and this leads to happiness. What did you do on your weekend? Well, I went out and I got drunk and I hooked up with this person in this bar. What did you do? Well, I went to church and I partook of the Lord's Supper and I listened to a sermon that went way too long. Which sounds more appealing? Which sounds more fun? But one leads to destruction and death. And you don't know until you walk into the house of folly and all of a sudden you're surrounded by corpses and you're like, whoa, I made the wrong choice. But you're already in the house. Right? But one leads to life and one leads to true joy and peace. So I want you to think about these two snakes, because I guarantee you, if you suddenly run upon them in your yard, you're going to freeze just for a minute. You're like, is that the dangerous snake or is that the good snake? And so you have to think, okay, red on black, red on jack, red on yellow, kill a fellow. Okay, and then you think about it. Because now you've been educated. You've been educated. You're not ignorant anymore. You're not naive anymore. And so when you go through life and you hear a call, come on into my house. This is fun. This is the way to education. I'll teach you what life is like. I'll teach you what life is about. Now, you've been educated. You can tell the difference. You know if it's a house of wisdom or if it's a house of folly. You know the difference when you're listening to those women call out to you from the heights of the city, right? One's going to lead to life and one's going to lead to death. And now that you've been educated, you can make the right choice for you and your life. And I want to end with one verse in Proverbs chapter 9, and it's right in this middle of discussion between wisdom and folly. It's right in the middle. So this is the parting advice for us as we go out and live our lives. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12. If you are wise, you are wise for you for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. What he's saying is, you choose wisdom or you choose folly. You will bear the consequences of life or death. That's on you. Each one of us has a choice. Each one of us has a choice to choose life or death. Wisdom or folly. Righteousness or unrighteousness. If you haven't made that, and by the way, it's not a one-time choice. We always offer the gospel invitation. If you feel like you need to be baptized and make that choice, you can do that. But it's always a day-to-day choice. We make those choices over and over and over, every day. And so just think about that. When you hear that call, that temptation, it sounds good, it sounds like it's going to be fun and enjoyable, but is it the call of folly that leads to death, or the call of righteousness and wisdom that leads to life? And hopefully we'll make those right choices. But when we don't, the good news is we have a Savior that we remembered this morning. He was nailed to the cross. He bled for us. He died for us. We have redemption from our poor choices.